I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
You start.
Okay, I'll start. Hello, everybody. Welcome to season two of Breaking Backwards. Our budget has tripled. Season two, Breaking Backwards. Bigger, better. We have a whole writing staff now. We have the first slot. We got the Super Bowl lead-in slot. Everything's supercharged. If the first season was directed by Wes Anderson, this second season, Michael Bay.
Oh, wow. Is that a upgrade? It seems like that's a downgrade.
Depends on who you ask. I can't remember the last Michael Bay movie I saw. They're bad, right?
They're just very explosion heavy. I suppose it depends on what you like. I don't think there's too many explosions in Wes Anderson films.
That's true. Speaking of explosions, there was one in this episode.
It was a heck of a explosion episode, yeah.
I guess technically we're on season four of Breaking Bad. At the end, this episode is called Face Off.
I was confused. I thought we were just going to, I know this is low hanging fruit, but I really was like,
God, you know where you're going.
Yeah.
What'd you think we were going to do?
Face Off.
Face Off, the John Travolta movie?
Well, I consider it Kevin Costner. No, who the fuck is the other guy?
Nicolas Cage. Yeah, oh my God, you don't even know who's in the movie.
I do. I could think. I'm a mom. I don't know actors' names. Come on. Right.
Okay. I am also a mom. and I know every actor's name. Every single one. But yeah, we watched Face Off. And I think it's a pretty fucking good episode of television. Miss Ryan, what about you? What did you think?
Yeah, this was an action-packed... starts off running literally, and then there are not a lot of low points here. Even the low points are filled with dramatic tension. So it was a good episode of TV, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful finale of a season. Even better premiere. just new season, new people. We got a whole bunch more breadcrumbs to leave out. They have a whole bunch of shit to throw at you that'll pay off later.
Yes.
We get this Gus guy.
My first experience seeing Gus alive, I had the opinion that Gus was always dead. That's not the right opinion.
Remember when we used to think Hank was always dead?
Yeah.
We were so young.
And remember, there was this period where we thought, Mike was dead too.
Yeah, we used to think Mike was dead all the time.
Yeah. Now he's not dead all the time.
Now he's forever alive. Oh yeah, no Mike in this episode.
Yeah, that sucks. I like him the best out of everybody.
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, I want to... I texted you this briefly yesterday, Meg, but I just want to describe what happened to the recording from 2 weeks ago.
Oh, please do.
So if you listen to our episode 15, Madrigal, and you might have noticed it sounds a little funny, that's because some bullshit happened to the recording. I had to... For whatever reason, my audio, it would play back, but it wouldn't save or export or anything like that. And so what I did at 1 a.m. is I set one computer up to play the episode and another computer up with my microphone, and my computers recorded a little podcast of their own.
That sucks. You had to stay up late on a work day. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's just funny because... there's some noises you can hear in the background of that episode, and that's not anything from the recording. That's me sneaking around trying not to make noise while my computer poops out our voices and I listen to it in the other room.
That's funny.
It was fun. It was a fun little experiment.
Well, hopefully that won't happen with future episodes.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully it got it all out of its system and we never have to run into that again.
And hopefully you, listener, didn't notice, which means I did. My job. but I suppose we should run to the jacket store.
Oh, because of how chilly it's getting.
It's gonna be a pretty cold open in a second. So, ooh. Okay. I'm officially bundled up.
I've got my parka on.
Lovely. So yeah, Meg, do you want to take a crack at describing what you see?
So in this episode, it begins with Walt running in a parking structure, mm-hmm. And then laying on the ground under a car and deactivating a device at the bottom of a car. And he's breathing really heavy, and he seems pretty frazzled.
And you said you commented you had not seen him frazzled yet, really?
Right. I've not seen him that panicked, because then is it still in the cold open where he takes the bomb to the pediatrician? Yeah.
And yeah. I'm trying to think. I think the only time the most frazzled you've seen him is at the beginning of Granite State, where him and Bob Odenkirk are in that basement hiding.
And he's like trying to, but he's still like being forceful. In this instance, he seems more scared.
He was like smacking a hanging light structure, and he was like, I don't know. And he's pretty frazzled when he was trying to get his family into that car.
Yeah. But again, it seems like he's got a plan there. In this instance, he's like completely devoid of a plan. And so
that's true.
I think that's why I found that so noteworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were asking me, like, I can't tell if he's, cause he's in the hospital. He brings a bomb into a hospital, and Jesse was like, you brought a bomb into a hospital? What's next?
Oy, oy, oy.
Like that. It's better tasting than the food here. And you're like, I can't tell if he's really frazzled or if he's manipulating Jesse.
And I then figured out he was really frazzled.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't answering your questions.
I should know better by now you won't answer my questions in those instances. But yeah, he brought a bomb in and was like, please tell me, where can we find this guy? Because you must have said something to him. How did he know that there was a bomb? We need to be able to get him. Jesse's like, I didn't say anything. Also, if we could just for a second, let me ask a question. How did Brock get poisoned? They're thinking he was poisoned. What's going on here? And Walt won't.
Yeah, Walt's kind of like, hey. And then some detectives come and grab Jesse and we're like, we'd like to talk to you.
Oh, sorry, I'm a little sleepy today. They are the same sleazy, cheesy detectives that we see throughout I forget which.
It was when Jesse was throwing a bunch of money out of his car. They were interrogating him.
What was that one called?
That episode? Oh, boy.
Is that called like Money Krampus or something?
The actual episode is called Money Krampus?
No, it's not. I'm saying it's not. I was just thinking it would be funny if it was. Like, it's... Sorry.
The premiere was Blood Money.
Yeah.
And then the next episode after that would have been, I know exactly, Buried. It was the episode Buried.
Okay.
Yeah. God, I'm fucking good.
You just know this thing inside and out.
I'm the LeBron James and knowing shit about this show.
Pays
a lot less. No.
A lot less opportunities to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. In that instance.
Yeah, he's a hero, and I'm not.
I'm sorry. I mean, you're a hero in your own right, just not through basketball. I've never seen
basketball. I'm no hero. Not like LeBron. You think I'm as good as LeBron James in terms of heroics?
I gotta say, no, like...
That silence says it all.
There's gotta be something in LeBron James's life that you and he are on the same level as.
I don't think so. I think he's just better.
What if you both are are at the same level on like wiping or...
Wiping our butts?
Yeah.
Famously, Schwartzes are bad at wiping their butts. This is a real thing.
Well, he might be bad at it too.
I learned it wrong. Never really learned it right.
I don't know how you could learn that wrong.
I don't know. Something. I always have to go back for a follow-up like a half hour later. Pretty gross, I know, but it's just the truth. And this podcast is about being real.
That's so true. I think like most boys are bad at wiping their butts, though. I don't know. As a mother of a boy, I think
does your boy use way too much toilet paper? Because I use way too much toilet paper. I'll like burn through a roll in a single session.
A whole roll?
It depends on the ply, but yes.
I haven't noticed a whole roll in a single session, but I think we're pretty liberal with toilet paper use in this household in general. I've had people in my life who've tried to micromanage my like toilet paper use throughout my life, And those people can all rot in hell. Like, there's mm-hmm. no space for that. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to just be free to be you in the bathroom, you know?
I get you. Yeah. Thank you. Because that makes me feel better. And now I do feel like a hero.
Good. Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm happy that we got that figured out.
Yeah. So, okay. What happens in this episode of television?
Okay. So after the hospital and after the goons take him away.
Mm-hmm.
What does happen? What's the next scene?
Wonderful word. Goons. So after that, Walt is... I'm going to kind of bounce around because it's kind of hard. Actually, let's just get Jesse out of the way for most of the episode.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back to Walt. Walt tries to find Saul to like get any information he can, and he can't find him. And so he runs into Francesca, his secretary.
Yeah, Francesca is trying to destroy documents, and she hears a banging and the phone ringing, and then eventually she just hears a big crash through the next room, mm-hmm. and she comes out with her pepper spray, and there's Walt, and he's throwing a big brick through a window mm-hmm. or a piece of curb or whatever.
Wonderful comedic scene, good physical acting by Bryan Cranston.
I think this was the scene that made me understand how frazzled Bryan Cranston Walt actually was, and that he wasn't manipulating anyone because he allows himself to get extorted, and the physical comedy, I think, as well. You don't really see him being that bossed around ever, and it's nice to see him finally fucking shook down for once.
Yeah, just so we can find Saul and get like some info. So Francesca's like, yeah, I'll tell you where Saul is for $25,000, and he has to go home and get some. And this is what we in the video game business call a side quest, because it just kind of happens. And then we get back to the main stuff.
I would have liked for her to say, like, sure, I'll give you that information, but first I need 25 satchels of gold dust. And then he had to go and forage for gold somewhere or something mm-hmm. like that, like you were playing World of Warcraft.
Like, oh, like an actual side quest. Yeah. And then if he does it enough, he gets the Biggeron sword, Zelda reference. Anyway, he goes, and then he kind of throws his neighbor under the bus.
That was uncalled for.
Well, it worked.
Yes. I mean, I knew that everything was going to be okay for her because we didn't ever hear a story of, like, remember when our neighbor got murdered? This neighborhood's going way downhill, and the house is still intact. But, the goons, scampered out of the house for a hot minute. I thought they would just, like, not come back. And then
they came back.
But they came back because everything was clear. Walt hoists himself over the garden wall, goes mm-hmm. into the house, opens up the crawl space. I don't know. Like, do most crawl space look like this? I thought
what do you mean? Like, are in the floor like that?
Yeah.
You will find out the origins of how that hole in the floor got there, is all I'll say.
Oh, okay.
But for those of you who don't watch along with us, first of all, what are you doing? Watch along with us. From someone who's seen this show, very fun watching it backwards. I'm having a great time. I'd recommend you do it too with us. The crux of this scene, if it's been a while since you saw the finale, was he needs to get money out of his house. He's worried goons are in there. And so he calls his neighbor and is like, I think my son left on the burner. Can you go in and check? And the goons leave. So he puts an innocent life in danger to keep himself out of danger. Paints a lovely picture of his character.
His moral.
His priorities lie.
Yeah, his moral compass there. It's fucking skewed. Yeah.
After he gets out, I believe, then we cut to Saul Goodman, Esquire, entering into the interrogation room.
Yes, and he, I kind of like any time Bob Odenkirk opens or enters a scene like this with the DEA or cops or whatever, because mm-hmm. he does do a good job of putting on this really put out vibe of like, you guys, you're up to no good. My mm-hmm. client's innocent. You better get it together. They have rights, mm-hmm. But in a kind of sleazebag way. And I don't know, I find it very entertaining.
Wonderful lines of this. He knocks it out of the park. Favorite line is... he has two of my favorite lines in the whole series, which is just, hey, all I know is if I got anal polyps, I'll know what to name them.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's your business if you want to stick your wang in a hornet's nest, but why do I got to get sloppy seconds? Great, great work. Couldn't have been delivered by anyone else.
So are the sloppy seconds their wangs or the hornet's nest?
It's what we call a mixed metaphor. I don't know if it 100% works, but it's fun. And the anger with which he delivers it is just lovely.
What a wonderful role for him.
And he's so handsome.
I just can't. I just like to take a moment and just really observe and appreciate what we've been gifted. Like, out of all the times we could have been alive, we get to see Bob Odenkirk play Saul. That's pretty exciting.
George Washington didn't get to see Bob Odenkirk play Saul Goodman.
Yeah, I think he probably would have really enjoyed it.
And do you know who else didn't? Sacagawea.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. And Lewis and Clark.
They never did. They never did. I wonder if they thought about it.
If they were like, one day, I bet you, like just the concept of television or.
No, I think the concept of Bob Odenkirk, which is, I think, is more of a, like, some people have heard of television, but most people have heard of Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to slap myself, my 2013 self, for at the time thinking, I don't know if he could sustain his own TV show. And boy, how wrong I was.
When did you hear that he was going to get a show? Like, it's been on the air since 2014?
15 is when it premiered, and this show ended in 2013. And I believe, like, right around, maybe either during these final few episodes or, like, a month after they finally greenlit it, but they had been talking about it for a while. And then there was, like, talk about, like, oh, it's going to be, like, more of a half-hour comedy or, like a Case of the Week show, and then that quickly went away, and it became very much like an hour-long serialized drama, similar but very, very, very different from Breaking Bad. Mm. Similar in tone, yeah, but very, very different. But we'll get more into that at a later point. But yeah, okay. Well, yeah, we did the Bob thing. That was cute. But cut to another scene with Bob and Walter.
Yes, and they're at road trip properties that you see, like road trip vacant establishments. Oh, yeah. I see a lot of places like this that have just been like howled out, I guess, that are, you know what I mean?
See a lot of those across Iowa for sure.
Yeah. So they're standing outside of this barren shell of a structure, and he explains to Walt that the only information he could get out of Jesse in terms of how they could have access to Gus Fring is a guy named Tio Salamanca at a nursing home that he goes to like torment every 6 months or something because they got beef between them over some murders that happened long ago.
Very good. Very good. And that's important to keep in your noggin. And you already kind of have the outline that you need. So that's good. That's good.
I condensed that information thoroughly.
That's very, 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 very good. And so Walt's like, methinks a scheme I'm about to create. And he does a little dance.
Yeah.
Meg just did a little dance and you can't see it.
That was for your benefit only.
I just had a little toot. Did you hear that?
I was wondering at what point that was going to happen on this podcast.
Wow. And I'm sitting in such a way of max volume on my asshole. And so that, oh boy. We'll find out if we're going to cut that, but I doubt it. We'll find out if me in 2 weeks enjoys that when I'm editing.
I think that I'm going to ask this question and understand that I will not get a response, but this is the first and last time we're seeing Tio Salamanca, Hector Salamanca. We never see him. I mean, I feel like we'll see him again because Jesse mentions that he traveled to see him with Gus. So that is the only inclination I have. But the other problem I have is sometimes they bring up stuff and then they don't show it because remember when Declan was meeting with Lydia in his underground meth bunker and she was trying to convince him to let, oh boy, what's his name? Not Jesse.
Todd.
Todd cook. And he said, well, he did two good cooks, but on the third one, he started a fire. I thought we were going to see Todd start a fire. We never did.
It's the inherent challenge of what we're doing, Meg. Because going backwards, and so when you're going forward, you're like, well, we never saw that, so that must have happened on screen. Unfortunately for you, we don't know what we're going to see in the past. So anytime they infer something from the past, I use the word infer. Ben's going to pee all up my ass about that. Anyway, anytime they refer to something to the past, you don't know if we're going to see it or not. And that's just something, that's just...
I'm just something that I'm going to have to learn to deal with.
We just got to, yeah, wrap our heads around that. We're 17 episodes into this bad boy. And at this point, who knows?
Okay.
It's tough, but when NASA first went to space,
okay,
they'd be like, wait, you're telling me I can't take this helmet off outside? And they were like, no, you'll die. And this is just something we got to deal with if we're going to do something great. And you and I, we're doing something great. And this is just something we're going to have to deal with.
Okay, yeah, I'll mm-hmm. learn to cope. I'll learn to cope for sure.
Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah.
Well, so he goes and he's like, I'll go check out this T.O. character.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go right to him checking him out?
Yeah, I believe so. Walt goes to the old folks' home.
At some point, excuse me, I'm sitting in such a way that I choked on my own spit. Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in such a way that my farts are super loud. Go on.
At some point, though, he calls his wife, or Flynn calls him, and is like, what the fuck? Get over here.
Oh, I think this is probably right about then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking lady and on the phone lady are all at Hanky Pank's house.
And they're like, this is serious. I kind of liked Flynn being like, the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Get mm-hmm. over here. That was cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Walt's, and I know it's a lie, he's all about business and needs to run that fucking car wash.
But he's not even at the car wash. But well, you're right.
I mean, he's lying. But if I was his son, I'd be like, you know what? I don't have to worry about a roof over my head. I don't have to worry about where my food's coming from. And that's because my dad runs the shit out of this car wash and I shouldn't complain.
It's just one less thing mm-hmm. for me to worry about. Yeah.
I doth not question where my bread is buttered is what he should have said.
I mean, I get it that like teenage boys are often very ungrateful mm-hmm. little shits, but I feel like proud in this instance for Walt Jr. Flynn to be like, hey, fucknut, get here.
Do you know why I'm not proud of him?
Why?
Because you mentioned he's a teenage boy. That means right before and right after the scene, he's probably jerking off.
That's true. He probably went into his aunt's guest bathroom mm-hmm. and beat off.
He's like, I got it. I'm going to explode unless I beat off right now.
I can't handle how I feel.
I at least got to press this up against something. Like a tile floor or a book.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, you got to press it up against stuff.
God, it sounds like such a nuisance.
That is truly the best word for it. It is a nuisance. Or at least it was at that age.
I can imagine.
You're horny all the time in a world that tells you, hey, don't be horny. Think about the book smarts.
Is
and you're
that,
like, I don't wanna.
Do you ever feel like at any point anyone was telling you not to be horny? Because all I feel like is the society's like, boys will be horny little shits. What are you going to do?
Girl, I went to Catholic school. We were told not to be horny all the time.
Oh, wow.
Well, you went to Catholic school too, though, right?
I went to Catholic school, but only when I was very young. And then I went to public school. So
I don't know.
I don't know. The cool boys were all real horny for sure. Mm-hmm. It was like really cool to be like,
yeah,
the cool boys were always horny.
I kind of hit it.
You hid being horny?
I kind of hit being horny, but it was all the time. It was just constant. Nightmare.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you had to go through that. That must have been very challenging.
Thank you. I accept your apology. anyway, so yeah, Walt Jr. jerks off, and then but Walt's like, son, I have business, dollars and cents, which is how fathers talk to their sons.
And smoking lady was just like, he'll be here when he's here.
I trust my man.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I'll just hold this baby and mm-hmm. I'm not gonna do anything about it. He's gonna be here when he's gonna be here.
Mm-hmm.
That was just her standing by her man, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. No, wait, okay. I'll straight up say there's one line that kind of gives away that this is not the last time you'll see Hector Salamanca, which is Walt says, I know you despise me.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say, is because it seemed like Hector recognized him, that the image of him was like,
that's pretty big. I can say like that's not something that just happens off screen. Like we'll see him again.
I guess, and you're right. They also mention in the discussion with Bob that he's like, you remember this guy? He rings a bell. He literally has to ring a bell. Mm-hmm. And so that probably was another. Okay, so we've come to the conclusion we'll see him again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We probably are going to.
We'll see. And so then, Walt goes to the old folks home, says like, I bet I know someone you hate more. And then I think it cuts right to Hector with his caregiver. Like he just rings a bell in his room and he's like, that's where he says he needs the DEA.
Yes. Then that was a frustrating scene that elicited sympathy out of me, though I am aware that this guy sucks.
Wait, are you aware he sucks? You don't really know anything about him.
Well, it seems like he must be a bad guy if he's got Gus Fring as an enemy, right? And he's killed people before.
But Jesse has Gus Fring as an enemy, and we like Jesse.
Okay, yeah. I guess I didn't realize that Jesse was an enemy. Oh, yeah, because he was absconded away. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm just saying, like, my goal here is to let's not assume.
Okay, yeah.
It's possible that he's an enemy because he runs a nonprofit.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's possible that he just also makes better meth or something like that. He could be an enemy in that way. Or because he's telling people, hey, don't do the meth there.
Or it's possible Gus runs a chicken restaurant, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's possible he's a food critic. And he gave them their one bad review.
Oh, so like a Ratatouille situation.
In the New Mexico Times or whatever their newspaper is.
Okay, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably the storyline.
They do reference that he's a cartel person.
Okay.
But don't think about that. Don't think
Why
about
you
that.
Send me up for these?
I forgot about that. Ratatouille. I forgot about that till just now.
Yeah. So then we got him in the actual nursing home. Mm-hmm. And he makes a deal with Hector, and Hector seems to be on board.
After that, it cuts to them back at Hank's, where Steve comes over and is like, hey, I heard some, remember our bell guy? He wants to talk.
Oh, yes. But he will only talk to you, Hank. And Hank has a neck brace and he's all beat up. And he's showing showing Steve pictures of the voltage or whatever, how much electricity the laundromat can handle.
Yeah, which I believe you saw in all its glory for the first time.
I did. I've only seen it blown up. Yeah.
Yes.
So. So then Steve is like, hey, I don't really give two shits or one fuck about this, but this DEA guy, this Hector guy needs to talk to you and only you. And on the phone, lady's like, under no circumstances are you going. And that's final. Oh, he's there. And he's basically just being told to, he basically just gets told to suck my, and then what?
But then he starts spelling fuck and then doesn't quite get there.
Oh, okay. That's too bad. I was hoping he'd say balls, but
very funny scene.
I love that scene. And I didn't understand why everybody was so mad at him. Cause I'd be like pretty pleased. I thought that Hank would have found that more entertaining than he did, I guess. Hank gives me the vibe of if some old man who rings a bell, like makes this big show about getting a hold of him and then tells him to suck his balls, like that would be.
I think they're implying that like Hank is like in a lot of danger right now and he's at his home for security reasons.
Sure. Yeah. I understand that.
And they pulled him out and it was for nothing is why they're maybe mad.
I know. I get that. But also I feel as though given all of that, Hank also would find it extra funny. Like
he did throw a little joke out at the end where he said, hey, at least this time he didn't shit himself.
Yeah.
So hanky panky still got jokes.
Yeah. I like a hanky panky. I know that. Yeah. It seems as though the online community does not like Hank.
Mm-hmm. We discussed this, I think, last week or the week before, but yeah.
But I feel a fondness for that character. I like him a lot.
Especially watching this order. Yeah, Hank's very sympathetic.
Yeah.
I like Hank.
Did you like him the first time around all the way through?
Yeah. It was kind of like you kind of knew eventually he's going to find out about Walt, and you just never knew when that shoe was going to drop.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, it was kind of like he was Chekhov's Hank. You knew eventually that was going to happen, so it was kind of cool waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Chekhov is a playwright.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah. You know, read some of those, listeners.
You should pick up a play every once in a while.
Read a fucking play instead of Sports Illustrated or your nudie mags.
Or Highlights Magazine.
Yeah, stop reading Us
Weekly.
Or Us Weekly, not, I mean, read Us. But
I got lots of things you could read.
Any who's olds. But then a man is watching Hector leave the DEA.
And he calls up another man. And that man is Gus. And the parking lot man says, I just saw Hector leave the DA. And then what does Gus say?
Gus says, is like, oof.
Oh, boy. Ugh,
this sounds like a can of worms. and then I think, yeah, after that, Hector gets home and he's like, the nurse is like, why, you made me look like a fool. And then as soon as she leaves, Walt comes out of the bathroom and is like, let's get to work. And And then it cuts to commercial.
And then the commercial cuts back to.
Yeah. And then the commercial cuts back to, I think we get a little more Jesse stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he gets a little bit more rattled by the DA, isn't that right? Because they're like, why did you suggest ricin poisoning? You're in trouble. We're gonna get you.
I think by this point, no, at some point he gets let go because they find out it's not ricin, and then he gets kidnapped.
Yeah, okay, we'll just get to that point.
I'll get to that later. That's small potatoes.
Yeah.
But oh, okay, then Tyrus comes in and he scans for bombs. Or scans for, like, any, like, guns or whatever?
I think he was scanning for wires. I think he was scanning for, like, if there was a bug in the room.
Right,
And then so his name is Tyrus?
Oh, shit. Yeah, his name's Tyrus.
Okay. So Tyrus was looking around, and then you just hear, like, hi, hello,
That scares me.
That freaks you out?
That freaks me out.
That lady was just the horny old lady.
That felt very, like, David Lynch-y. Just have, like, a weird old lady, like, not quite center frame, going, like, hello? Like, that's very like Blue Velvety, like what's the other movie I'm thinking of? I don't know, like Twin Peaksy, whatever. It was like eerie and scary. I didn't like it. I know her name now. So
oh well, yeah, she's a hero. So
yeah, she's a hero. We'll get her. There's no way she's alive.
Oh, that, maybe she's got a good social media presence. You don't know. So he scans all over. He hears this old lady being like, tee-hee, what fun. And we have a shot of Hank, or I'm sorry, we have a shot of Walt hiding next to a like a wall so that he couldn't be spotted by the guy scanning the room.
I think what the director was, Vince Gilligan directed this, the creator. I think what he was intending was because you saw Walt come out of the bathroom earlier, and once Tyrus goes to check the bathroom, you're like, oh no, Walt's going to get caught, and then he's outside.
Yeah, that's really kind of what I felt. So he was successful in how he built that scene. Sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, like Walt's going to be on the shitter.
Yeah, like Walt's just pinching one out. That would be great.
Hey, Walt needs to shit.
And then the dude's
I didn't shit today.
I'm so sorry. You must be really uncomfortable.
No, it's fine. I've been trying to eat a lot of fiber, so I do it more, but I just realized today I just haven't yet. So.
Well, that's maybe why you got all that gas.
Definitely why I have all that gas. We'll get it taken care of after the pod.
You think so? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me know if you need to pause for a minute.
I'll run into that bathroom and I will get it done.
So then we have Tyrus, I guess, call Gus, and he says, it's clear. And then he's like, okay, I can just take care of it now. And Gus is like, no, I do this.
Yeah. He's very, very, very menacing. Yes. He puts on a really nice suit.
And he gets driven because his car, he must be aware, is a target and gets driven to this place. I'm sorry. Am I skipping over anything? I don't keep the outline in front of me.
This happens. I'm looking at it. I think Yeah, not really anything you're missing.
Dope.
You're crushing it. You're crushing
it. Oh, mm-hmm. All right. So then he gets driven there. He walks in all menacingly, and he's like, what type of man? Or like maybe he says something like, that you are not a man that goes and rats mm-hmm. to the DA.
He calls him a rota, which I think it must be Spanish or Argentinian for rat.
Yes.
And then the man who can't speak continues to say nothing. And then he's like, what kind of man? I think this is a wonderful scheme by Walt, by the way. I know a lot of stuff had to go right for it to work out, but top-notch scheming. This is some Dark Knight Joker-level schemery.
Sure.
A big fan. Anyway, sorry, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I have my own criticisms about this scheme, and... I thought that's why you wanted me to do this podcast.
That is why I wanted you on this podcast, but I'm still going to gug about it.
But yes... he goes and it looks like he's going to inject him with what just some type of poison, you think?
I think it was piss.
He's going to put piss in the guy's veins.
It was his own piss. He's going to piss in his veins and be like, that's what you get. He wasn't even going to kill him. He never said, I'm going to kill him.
I guess it was heavily inferred, but you're right.
It was heavily inferred, but it could have been piss in there. Or come.
It could have been. It's probably completely clear cum.
Completely clear. Because I don't know. I've never held on to mine for an extended period of time. Maybe it just goes clear after a while.
I think it solidifies and just gets all crumbly.
Does it? Ew.
I don't know. Wow. I've never like kept a vial of it for any reason, but.
All right. If you're out there and you've kept a vial of cum just like in your pocket for a week, let us know what does it looks like.
Does it separate? Does it get completely clear?
Does it turn into peanut butter? I don't know. I don't know. I know under the right temperature and circumstance, it turns into a baby, but that's about it.
Just the temperature and circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, 100%.
You should know where babies come from. You've had some.
I've had some. It's bizarre. Every time I think about it, I go, I grew people. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Got a little farm in your tummy.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whenever it's in the middle of happening, it's very distracting.
In the middle of being pregnant? It's very distracting?
It's hard to focus on anything. This is not a pregnancy podcast, though we have spent a lot of time talking about pregnancy.
I feel like it's basically a pregnancy podcast. Yeah. I've started putting it in that category on the iTunes podcast store.
Okay.
Because we talk about pregnancy quite a bit.
We really do. But I will say, as this relates to Breaking Bad, which is 100% does, it's weird to grow people inside of you because they just keep getting bigger and bigger and more of a problem. And then they come out and they are even more of an issue after that. Yeah. And they need even more things than when they're inside you.
True, true, true. Okay. Where were we?
Going back to him about to inject.
Oh, and Meg was like, I think he might have connected the bomb to his bell. And
yeah,
I just messaged you
the bell. And you said, what about the bell? And I said, I think he may have the bomb somehow connected to the bell. And you know what you said? You said, nope. What? That's not possible, you silly lady. And then,
I didn't want you to get... I hate when people predict things right because I want you to be surprised.
I think that's kind of part of my whole deal as a writer is like, I just see those things stand out. And so when I had an ex-boyfriend who had like a real problem and he'd be like, why can't you just sit and enjoy the show or whatever? Why can't you just watch it passively? Which is like, just not possible for me, you know?
So I watch with people who do go like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. And I get that instinct. And I don't think I watch things passively, but I don't have that instinct. I never want to like, I predict it maybe a little bit in my head, but I never try to call it out. I don't know. Maybe I'm different.
Sometimes it's like I can't help it. The same way that I ask a lot of questions, I just...
And I know a ton of people who do. Most people are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, then the criticisms I received were unfounded, and we should
I agree.
Let them hold no water in this instance. Yeah.
They're not a cup. They don't hold water.
Exactly. So... Hector starts ringing his bell right before Gus injects him with whatever poison. And they look at him for a second. And then
Hector makes a mean face. He goes, he was very funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they realize it right when he's making the mean face, and it explodes. The room explodes. Mm-hmm. And out of the wreckage walks Gus, and he adjusts his tie, and he like tries to get his composure, and then half of his face is just fucking gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a squeamish disposition and was reluctant to see this, but with Adam's assurance, I did eventually watch the ickiness. So
there you go. It's very CGI-y. I'm looking at the production segment of the Wikipedia right now. Apparently they got some, because AMC does The Walking Dead too, and they had some Walking Dead people work on that shot.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Which
cool,
is kind of cool. It's a cool shot. Pretty big deal because I watched this at like a watch party.
Yeah.
When it came out, I think in college. And yeah, we were all like, whoa! we all turned into horses. We all went,
no.
As soon as it happened. And then thankfully someone had sugar cubes.
I was going to say, what happened next? And so then it's all over the news, and the news gets back to Walt, who's listening in his car, I guess on the roof of a parking structure. Where was he listening?
I don't know. 'Cause later on, he drives to the top of the parking structure of the hospital. But right now, I think he's just in, he's in Kmart.
Okay, he's in the parking lot of a Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he drives to the lab where Jesse keeps becoming a meth slave.
Well, yes, because when Jesse gets released, he's walking down the street trying to get a hold of Andrea. And wouldn't you know it, somebody just comes up, zaps him, and throws him in the back of a minivan. And the cops, even though it's right outside of a police station, don't see him for a hot second at all.
They even show some cops walking up, munching on donuts.
That's what they do. That's what they always are doing.
They're like, whoa, sprinkles? Anyway, Jesse's some guy's like, yo, cook meth, make it good.
Don't you not make it good. Come on, you want to cook meth with a broken arm? Because he's thinking about grabbing a big tool to defend himself.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that guy was a big tool.
Oh, yeah, because, he's keeping a meth slave, so that's first-class tool behavior right there.
We're not fans of people who keep meth slaves.
But that is just no good.
But Walt to the rescue. He comes down there and shoots that man right in the face.
This is the first time I know... this is the second time I've seen him rescue Jesse from being a meth slave. But the first time, maybe the first time in the story that he rescues Jesse from being a meth slave, I'm not sure.
Who's to say?
So then they stay. He goes, Gus Fring is dead. There's work to be done.
And you kind of pointed out, you're like, because you've seen everything in season 5, and you were like, he shouldn't have taken that much credit for Gus Fring's death.
Yeah, that was the thing I wanted to bring up. The amount of cockiness that Walt portrays after this happens is not, I think, equal to what he actually did. He attached a bomb. He did scheme well, but I think he was a very passive person in this murdering of Gus Fring, because Hector Salamanca is the real reason. It was a joint effort. It was a team effort. It wasn't a one-man thing. Like, Hector Salamanca sacrificed himself to kill Gus, and I think that he shouldn't be having such a big fucking dick swinging around. He should, recognize that he didn't do that by himself.
Meg?
Yeah?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I completely disagree with you. I think it was so cool that this whole plan he orchestrated, he's a fucking puppet master. I would have the biggest head in the world after this. I would hire Nazis for everything. If I came up with a plan this fucking good and convinced an old ass man to kill himself for revenge, just to get my whims, I would brag about it constantly. I would brag about it to the police.
Okay, anyway, we're just gonna agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, because there's no change in either of our minds, you know.
Yeah, you said that, and I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna have words on my.
You don't think that he maybe takes too much credit for his death at all?
I think it gives him a little bit of a head, like he thinks he's like, I'm invincible now. But no, I think he built a bomb. He probably came up with the idea, like, go to the DEA because that'll get him interested in you, and then they'll come to your house. And then, like, him explaining this had to have sounded very dorky. Like, because all we see is him going, I know you despise me. but I bet I know someone you despise more. It's Gus Fring. See, I know him too, and I have an ongoing storyline with him right now. Anyway, he really wants to kill me, but he also is like watching the DEA. So what you're going to do is you're going to go into the DEA and pretend to be giving him information. You're not going to do it. You can say whatever you want. That's a bonus for you. Anyway, you're going to come out. Gus is going to try to kill you, where that's where I'll strike, because he never would assume that me and you would know each other. Anyway, how do you like it? You're going to have to die for this. Is that okay?
And then does he just ring the bell? Like, once? And
then he rings the bell. He's like, sure.
Yeah, I'll die right now. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that there was a lot of, you know, it was a very calculated attempt and everything. But and I see how it gives him a big head. But I also think that it's to his deficit. Like, it's to his detriment, I guess, is the phrase. But
I mean, that big head does get him into some big trouble.
Some deep doo doo.
And I almost said, like, we'll see that. And I'm like, no, we won't. We already saw it. but yeah, that's enough. Sorry for arguing with you, Meg. What a debate.
How, this was our first fight ever. What is that like?
We were basically screaming at each other.
I don't know how to manage. Well, we'll have to just soldier on.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know how you rebuild after something like that. Anyway, what the fuck happens next? Oh, there's the really fun little like Mexican guitar montage where they're burning down the lab.
Yes, that was very fun to see him actually. That was fun to see them just destroying stuff. It's kind of like speaks to, I think, all of our needs to be like, destroy some
fun?
Shit. Yeah.
Smashing stuff rules. I love like when I move out of a house and I'm like, what don't I need? Smash it! Yeah.
And then they go through the laundry, which they wipe down a big laundry machine and pull the fire alarm and everybody leaves. And then they're like, why would the fire alarm go off? Oh, there's an explosion downstairs. I guess I got to leave. And
yeah, that machine looks like it can clean a lot. Anyway, go
like
on.
At least two comforters.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that there was like a rash of explosions one day in Albuquerque, and they just couldn't, like, well, is everything blowing up now? You know?
Well, I think it is implied in the next episode, like, they pretty quickly put the dots together that someone killed Gus Fring. They don't know who. Mm. And so they're absolutely connected, but they just don't know
by
Walt. Because they both realize what happened with Gus, and also, the DEA is investigating the laundromat in the next episode.
Yes.
And then that's when they go to the hospital and Jesse's like, yeah, he's going to pull through. It was Lily of the Valley. Looks like we're all good.
So that's what I was asking you about. Like, did he gave both Lily of the Valley and ricin to the kid?
Just Lily of the Valley.
He never gave the ricin to the kid ever.
Nah.
Because in the one episode where Jesse makes him think that he has his money, Walt says, like, don't you think I knew exactly how much to give him without killing him and stuff like that? Don't you think I...
He said poison, which I'm assuming he was talking about Lily of the Valley. And I assume Walt, like a chemist, would know that they have similar symptoms. Because I think the goal was to make it seem like it was ricin.
Okay. So wait, that it would be planted on Gus?
I might be revealing too much, so I'm just going to shimmy out of this conversation.
I'll just trust that things become more clear later, or we can talk about it after a couple more episodes.
Yeah.
Because right now, the way that they spoke in every episode before this, it sounded like the kid had ricin, because we see him.
Well, Walt hid that plant last episode.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And he also did something with the ricin cigarette. So there was no less ricin in it? I don't know.
Well, so Jesse had a ricin cigarette on him at some point.
And we know that
it was lifted by Huel.
Yeah.
And Jesse couldn't find it. And so Jesse thinks it just fell in his room but picked it up. But I think at some point maybe he assumed Walt took it and poisoned the kid or something. I don't know. I gotta stop talking. I can't.
Well, okay. I guess we'll just...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it later, I guess.
We'll talk... We absolutely will talk about it later.
Okay.
I can't... That, I promise you.
Okay. Uh-huh. So then...
But then we get to the most important shot of the episode.
The shot where...
You pointed it out to me.
The booger shot?
The booger shot. Walt has a big booger in his nose.
Yeah.
For the shot.
This was a part where I was like, there were so many people that had to look at Bryan Cranston before this scene was shot and actively watch it. And nobody was like, we can't use this take. There's his entire left nostril is filled to the brim with a huge. I don't know how I've never seen it.
It's such a big booger.
I think that this has to be my least favorite man quality. And that is that men always get these big boogers and they just have them there. And I don't like it.
I don't usually do whataboutism on gendered issues, but I have seen quite a few boogers on ladies.
Really?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. All right. Okay. I
pointed out boogers, I've seen it. I'll say.
I just like noticed that men, they just can't. I've had a lot of instances of men in my life, and maybe I just attract men, and one of the type of man I'm attracted to just is bad about grooming their nose hairs, but just maybe. A lot of dudes with boogers. I just am so conscientious of that. I never want to have that happen. So,
I mean, the guy's boogers are better.
I don't want to talk about this
because we're bros, dude. Our boogers rule.
I can't get involved with the conversation. So silly.
okay.
But he's calling Skylar, and it's the same shot we see at the beginning of the last episode we watched, and he's like, hey, everything's cool. And she's like, are you sure? Because Gus Fring blew up. Like, and he's like, no, I won. It's good. I'm fine. And she goes, is this you? And he just says, I won, and hung up in that very plucky tone.
He said, I won.
I won. And then he went to Dave and Buster's. And is that the end of the episode?
Yeah, then it pans and you see that he has Lily of the Valley in his backyard.
He does have Lily of the Valley in the backyard. So he poisoned that kid. That's no good.
You like this one, it sounds like.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I thought I would give it like an A. You know, this was pretty fun.
High praise.
That was. They had explosions. It had Bob Odenkirk. It had running. So it seems.
Oh, God.
It seemed pretty fun.
Running rules.
I think I kind of prefer the ones where, even if for a moment, Walt has to play low status like he did at the beginning of the episode. I think that makes me feel like, yeah, fuck you, Walt, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what happens. It seems like it definitely seems like he's low status at the end of the next episode we'll watch.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair point.
If he's scrambling around for her bombs under cars.
Yeah.
Should we talk about some heroes?
Let's talk about our heroes of the week.
Let's talk about some. I went back and forth on whether to talk about the lady who reads Hector Salamanca's letters, but she has too many lines.
She has a million lines, doesn't she?
Yeah, but it's mostly just like A, B, but she has too much screen time. Her name's Myra Turley, but she's cool. Anyway, but our first one, and probably the truest, when me and Meg started calling these people out, this is who we had in mind, this first person. And she's the bingo caller.
That is an under five hero of the week.
That is the underest five. that was her most recent credit. It was this episode. And then before that, she had something in two that, her name is Marty Smith.
Okay, and, Marty.
Or is that I don't know if it was a boy or girl. I remember it being a lady, but I don't know. That was in 2011. In 2006, they were in something called The Passenger. Then in 1992, they were in something called Let's Kill All the Lawyers. And then in 1989, they were in something called Chameleon Street. And that's it.
Well, I think she did a wonderful job calling bingo. Maybe all of those programs had bingo callers in them.
I just like, it's so many people work so hard to get booked and just like every couple of years, like, I guess I'll take a job. Yeah. So good job. And the little scary Lynchian old lady, credited as little old lady.
Yeah.
In her sole credit.
That's somebody's grandma, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That must have been a real old folks home. And this woman, Lorenzita Anaya.
Okay.
Must have been there and then have been like, sweetheart, can you just say hello to this man?
I think I think it was a producer's aunt or something.
That's how Vince Gilligan talks, by the way. I don't know if you've heard him in an
interview. Sweetheart?
He just kind of talks like this. He got a little bit of an accent.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah. He's an adorable man to, like, hear interviewed.
Really?
Yeah. I really do like listening to him, like, talk.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Does not seem like he writes a show like Breaking Bad. Okay. Well, let's moving right along. We're going to talk about the man who said, "Hey, do you want to work with a broken arm?"
Yeah, that guy.
That is Gus's operative. That's an under five, right? He only had like three lines, I think.
I think so, yeah. What, you can't take the stairs? Energy efficient goon.
Kevin Wiggins. He's in a bunch of shit, and it looks like a lot of tough guy roles. He's in something called Priceless as the Foreman.
Yeah, seems like he's definitely got a type.
He's in the show Manhattan as Field Sergeant. He's in Boys of Abu Ghraib as Sergeant Pratt. Yeah, so he's in Jesus. Guess when his first credit was?
1991.
Very close, 1990.
Oh, wow, good for me.
Yeah, yep. So good for
him.
Wiggins.
Yeah, good for him.
Moving right along. So we saw a news report, but we didn't see our dear friend, Antoinette Antonio.
Antoinette?
But we had another presumably New Mexico news reporter named Augusta Myers. And this was her last credit, and she's only in other stuff as news person. So,
as self, basically. Or what?
Yep. So, you do stuff in New Mexico, and you did stuff in Breaking Bad, and that was really cool.
Good for you.
Good for you. You crushed it. And next up, there's not that many here. Oh, does it count? The two radio DJs that he listened to on the radio, do they count?
Well, we didn't see them. We didn't see them, but we did count the voices of the cops in that one Madrigal episode where zaps himself. So I think we have to set a precedent there. Yeah.
Well, it's Steve Ruiz and Erica Viking, and they play radio DJ 1 and 2. And Steve looks like he might just be a radio DJ. That's his only credit. But Erica looks like she's like in a couple things. She's in some sketch stuff.
Oh, cool.
And she is something called Sketch Cram, which was a show at UCB, but I don't know if it's the same one.
Hmm.
No, it looks like a little like short show she tried to make because she looks kind of like behind it. Anyway, good job, Erica.
Good job, Erica.
But that was your last credit, and that was 2014. So come on, Erica.
Get back on that horse, Erica.
You got it. All right. Well, yeah, that was all of them.
All right.
I think. Yeah, we did it. That was a more fun one than the German one where I had to name every actor that's ever come out of Germany.
Yeah, there were only those actors ever. So
it's just those ones. But cool. I was like, ah, shit. Do we do anything else at the end of these? I forget. I think we're good.
I've already assigned it a grade, right? So.
Yeah. You gave it like a B++. super good. Right in an hour. Shit, we crushed it.
We did a good job today.
And I can't think of anything I'll cut out, so it'll probably be an hour.
What about the fart?
I've come to a decision. The fart stays.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess until next time.
Good Heisenberg
to you.
Fair listener.